couple of rare Wally Rose 78s from the late 40s or early 50s. Jelly Roll Morton's King Porter Stomp, Rose tastefully accompanied on the latter by bassist Squire Gersback and Minor Hall on drums. Before that, with its silly birdsong whistle at the start, was composer Paul Pratt's lovely 1910 Springtime Rag. And beginning the set was the Mississippi Rag, Wally Rose with Turk Murphy's jazz band from a long out-of-print Columbia LP. This is Wally Rose and the Rebirth of Ragtime on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Rose was a brilliant pianist. He was a skilled sight reader. During the 1930s, he played in numerous dance bands and on cruise ships, sailing the West Coast to Hawaii and the Far East. Through the 30s and 40s, he appeared at dozens of night spots, restaurants, and hotels around the San Francisco Bay Area and appeared on television and radio. Beginning probably in the late 50s or early 60s, he appeared at the world's major jazz and ragtime events, the Newport Jazz Festival, the St. Louis and Sedalia, Missouri ragtime events, and jazz festivals in Holland, Japan, England, Switzerland, and Australia. Rose taught piano frequently, and his pupils included famous classical pianist Roxana Chu Lee and jazz and ragtime pianist Peter Klute, who in 1997 recalled for me Wally's importance to the worldwide rediscovery of ragtime.
It's clear that Wally's made a big contribution to American music, helping bring back ragtime, and was certainly one of the key players in the West Coast traditional revival movement.
Yeah, he's influenced a great number of piano players. I think probably he will go on influencing them because his recordings, they're now available on CDs. I know the Good Time Jazz records are. And the San Francisco Jazz Foundation has put out one or two.
So, can we define the ragtime era, what, 1890s to maybe about, what, World War One, publishing period of
the
ragtime?
The first published rag was about 1899, and then the First World War came along, and it probably ended when jazz began in about 1917. There were rags written after that time, and there's some written today by some of the scholars of the music. But for the most part, the ragtime era had ended about 1917, and the jazz era had begun then. Although the early piano players in most of the jazz bands had a ragtime background, and Waters had always figured that the piano player with the band had to be a ragtime piano player in his band, and also in early New Orleans music.
Is it safe to say that ragtime, at least as a published form, began with Joplin and some of his fellow composers in and around the Sedalia, Missouri area?
Yeah, that's probably where most of it began. It proliferated quickly. I don't know how quickly this music can get around, because you find that the first rag was published in 1899, and then again you find rags that are dated 1899 from clear the other side of the country. So you wonder how, with communication, you know, not quite as rapid as it is today, that everybody could jump on something at the same time. I haven't figured that out yet. There were a lot of good rags written in England, and of course it would take you almost a week to cross the Atlantic, so it did take a little longer for it to catch on over there.
Mm-hmm. So this was a classical music in that it was written down. It wasn't a folk music. It somehow evolved, we don't know quite how, and then it suddenly appears on the scene very rapidly.
As soon as it becomes a little bit popular, then what we call Tin Pan Alley grabbed it and started making it available in a very simplified form to any act or musical group that could use it. They plugged it and tried to get people to play it. Irving Berlin came along with his Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Come on in here, come on in here, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Come on in here, come on in here, it's the best band in the land. Now you can hear the bugle call like you never heard before. Makes you want to go to war. It's just the bestest band what am I. Come on in here, come on along, let me take you by the hand.
At one time there was maybe, what, 50 or 100 different composers who wrote rags in the classic era of ragtime?
Oh, there are probably that many, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the years go on, you know, every little town had a publishing company, and Aunt Minnie's uncle composed a rag and published it himself.
Mm-hmm. And then at some point, the technology of the player piano allowed for the dissemination of the music.
The player piano allowed people such as myself, of course, at a slightly later age, to take a roll of a rag, and by slowing the speed down to nothing and keep pedaling it with the keys down, you could find out what they were playing. The problem was, to make a roll sound good, they had to add notes and all, and sometimes it was very difficult to try and play these tunes because it was obvious that there were three hands on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Player piano was like a jukebox, and it got into all the bar rooms and anywhere, and of course it was an accompaniment to singers, and it had all sorts of functions.
It seems like at some period by perhaps the mid-20s that the player piano had died out as a major form of entertainment, that rags were not being published or put on record as an important form, and it seems to have almost completely disappeared for a decade and a half or so. And then I guess Wally is one of those who is credited with bringing back awareness of ragtime. His music became known around the world.
Yeah,
he recorded quite a bit, I understand, very prolifically, something like 100 albums.
He's well known all over the world, and probably for the same reason that I liked him, you know, other people liked him, and he had a style that was all his own, and it was something fresh and that people hadn't heard, I suppose, for years. And people I know in, we've been to Australia and Europe and Japan, and everybody who likes jazz over there just automatically knows him. They're very familiar mm-hmm. with his work.
Pete, I know people have enjoyed your music over the years, your many years with Turk Murphy, and your work today. Thanks for taking time out to share some of your memories of Wally Rose.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks again. Thank you.
Yes, this is Paul Pratt's remarkable 1914 Hothouse Rag. And we heard Blame It on the Blues, not a rag, but an early New Orleans jazz tune from Rose's 1992 Rags, Blues, Joys. Not too shabby for a pianist in his 80s. We also heard Wally on a 78 playing original rags, Scott Joplin's earliest tune published in 1898. Asked in 1956 by writer Nat Hentoff why he played ragtime, Wally responded, quote, "Why do I go back to the ragtime period? Mainly because I love all kinds of music and have an insatiable curiosity. I find a certain charm in the era. What am I trying to prove? Nothing. Merely trying to share a neglected part of jazz music with as many people as I can." End quote. Well, I hope you've enjoyed sharing ragtime with Wally Rose, the musician most responsible for the rediscovery and rebirth of ragtime music in the mid-20th century. Wally died in 1997, but clearly his influence and the ragtime music he loved live on. My special thanks to public radio station KALW and Peter Minton, to record collector Dick Wahlberg for loan of a half dozen rare 78s, and of course to the late Peter Klute for his recollections of Wally Rose. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, specializing in transfer and restoration of rare tapes and discs to digital. The Jazz Rhythm website is jazzhot.bigstep.com. Finally, here again, one of my and Wally's favorite rags, this from a 78, and I've never heard it played faster, the Hothouse Rag. I'm Dave Radlauer. That's Wally Rose and the rebirth of ragtime on Jazz Rhythm. Thanks for listening.